Malbec, written and read by Lady Drace. The first time Julian had personally experienced the effects of the Malbec after moving in with Garrick on Cardassia, it had come somewhat as a shock. He had been late for a meeting, and a data pad had slipped from his sweaty fingers in his hurry. Dropping to all fours to fish it out from under the couch, he was frankly scared to death when he was suddenly pounced by a very amorous Cardassian who just did not take no for an answer. Needless to say, Julian was quite a bit more late when he did show up for his meeting, and was sporting a rather goofy grin on his face. Having worked as a doctor on Cardassia for a while now, he was familiar with the term, and had seen the effects of it on a few occasions. But the first time it manifested itself in Garrick, it caught him completely off guard. It might be an effect of the many years of longing and hoping, but Julian found that for 3 days he could not even be in the same room with his Cardassian partner, unless he wanted to be thoroughly ravished immediately. As flattering as it was, eventually they both decided that Julian would take a little trip out of town for a day or so, until it was blown over a bit. It did get quite exhausting and distracting after a while. Knowing that it showed up roughly every 6 months, Julian made a little note in his calendar, just to be prepared next time around. It wasn't like the condition appeared like clockwork, but at least this way he would know when the time drew near. The first time he'd heard about the condition from a Cardassian colleague at the emergency medical center he had joined in the wake of the war, he had of course let his big mouth run away with him. "So you mean you go into heat?" Rogan was an extremely old doctor, and had in fact been retired for years, when Cardassia was suddenly in flames and he was called back to his trade. He was surprisingly open-minded, and accepted far more of Julian's youthful or human ideas than any other Cardassian, except perhaps Garrick. But he was not above verbally flogging his young friend when he stepped in it, if nothing else, at least to spare him the wrath of less forgiving Cardassians. "No, for the love of... Listen to what I'm saying! It's a semi-annual hormonal phenomenon experienced by most adult Cardassian men. A slight imbalance that can have a wide range of effects from mild irritation or aggression to overly amorous feelings." Julian chewed his lip and tried to wrap his head around what he was being told. "So that's when the blue color appears on your foreheads?" Rogan looked like he dared Julian to make another silly point, but patiently explained on. "Yes, but it's not a sure indicator either. Some never have it. Some always do, and yet others only have it occasionally. It varies greatly from person to person." Suddenly struck by the comparison to other violent hormonal reactions he knew of, he couldn't help but wonder. "How powerful is the reaction? Can it be ignored or suppressed?" Busy looking through some boxes for the last of a certain hypospray, Rogan's answer sounded a bit offhand. "Some men can, I suppose. It depends a lot on the circumstances. If it's mild and there are no major external influences, there should be no worry. If it's more strongly felt, well..." Julian paled at the thought of a fully matured Cardassian on a hormonal rampage. "It could be dangerous." This made Rogan turn to face him with a serious gaze. "Look, just because we have a hormonal imbalance does not turn us into maniacs every 6 months. Most adults know how to control themselves enough to deal with it. Some younger men occasionally get into trouble, but with age one learns to recognize the signs and seek quiet and solitude when the imbalance manifests." Nodding and looking at his shoes, Julian wondered if he would offend Rogan by asking what was on his mind. Apparently his thoughts were very obvious, because the old man beat him to it as soon as he looked up. "You want to know what it does to me?" Julian let out the breath he didn't realize he'd been holding. "Yes, I never noticed anything." Rogan smiled at him with amusement. "You wouldn't. I'm too old. Around the age of 60 we stop having them. Much to the regret of my wife." The last bit was said in an undertone, but still made Julian smirk. Months later, he was making his way home from his impulsive visit to Rogan in his relatively secluded home village. Julian smiled fondly at the memory of how the older man had lost control completely and laughed his head off when he, blushing from head to toe, had mumbled the reason for the sudden visit. He was cause for several crude jokes from some of Rogan's ancient but merry friends, who found him very amusing, not to mention the smirks from Rogan every time Garrick was mentioned. But it was all in good humor, and he had returned home to a much more relaxed lover, who had succeeded in sitting through an entire dinner before ravishing him again. Roughly 6 months after that, Julian was preparing for a trip off the planet's surface to officially resign from Starfleet. It was a formal affair that didn't usually take long, but he had been pressured into presenting all his reports and personal observations from his time on Cardassia to the medical board before finally resigning. Julian wasn't too happy about it, but had grudgingly agreed, in the end, to stop the lengthy arguments about it. He would be gone 2 days, and was just packing his last clothes, when he noticed something slightly off about his lover. Garrick was fussing about the bedroom, smoothing creases on the bedspread, fiddling with the curtains, and in general seeming unable to keep still. After a few moments of worry, he remembered what time of year it was. Well, talk about perfect timing with the trip and all. Blushing at the thought of Garrick's reaction last time, Julian hurriedly finished packing and prepared to go. Garrick was indeed unusually passionate in his goodbye, and Julian felt slightly bad having to almost pry him off when he had to leave. But he would make it up to him when he came home. They would both have a few days to themselves, so the distractions would not be a problem. On his way to the shuttle, he passed the small tailor shop Garrick had taken him to occasionally, being of the general opinion that Julian was either colorblind or fashion handicapped. Also, he had tried to deny it, but Julian had spotted him in there from time to time, enjoying a chat about his former profession with the very esteemed owner Velgar Norneck. He knew Garrick fairly well, having had him as a steady customer since his return to Cardassia, and had also employed his help in restoring the shop to open business, even though it, surprisingly enough, had only suffered mild damage in the general devastation. Suddenly Julian was struck with the idea of surprising Garrick with a new outfit, as a way of making up for almost fleeing his embrace, and perhaps tease the Cardassian a bit. It wasn't often he got the chance to see his lover completely out of control, but when it happened, it has always been worth it. So if he could push just the right buttons, maybe he would be able to fish out that shockwave of passion that was Garrick at his most unguarded, the one he only very rarely displayed, even to Julian. Checking the time, he decided he could easily catch the next shuttle in an hour instead. He would only be slightly late, and frankly he didn't care about offending Starfleet. They were being quite rude about his resignation as it was, so he felt no desire to go out of his way for them. Stepping into the empty shop, Norneck recognized him immediately. "Ah, Dr. Bashir, here on your own today?" Julian smiled and deposited his bags by the door. "Yes, I know Garrick has the greatest respect for your sense of style, so I thought I might surprise him with one of your tailored delights." Norneck apparently didn't mind a thick flattery, and the twinkle in his eye reminded Julian a lot of Garrick when he knew there was more to it than was said openly. But thankfully, Norneck was not the type to obfuscate things, at least not when it came to his business. "Always glad to oblige. What kind of outfit did you have in mind?" Noticing the slight blush on the doctor's face, Norneck couldn't help but smirk. He had a sneaking suspicion what this might be about. "Well, you see, it's a special time for Garrick, and I want an outfit that, complements..." Norneck had never been a torturer, because, frankly, he didn't like to see people suffer. So he mercifully interjected. "You want something beautiful, perhaps even a little daring, for Garrick's Malbec." Julian's eyes flew open and his jaw dropped. Norneck laughed and led Julian through the shop to the back. "Oh, if you only knew how many regular customers I have wanting special clothes for their loved ones, Malbec. I think I have just the thing, even for a non-Cardassian." Less than an hour later, Julian was having the final measurements taken for what even he considered a very bold outfit. He considered timing how many seconds it would take for Garrick to get him out of it, and not for the first time during his fitting, wondered if he should even go forth with this rather daring attempt of teasing his lover. But still he couldn't help but smile at the thought of what they would most likely be doing the next few days after his return. As they both had time off for once, there was surely no better time for an intense love-making marathon. Nornik promised to have the outfit done by the time Julian returned, and even went so far as to sell him a traditional perfume called Shomesh, often used at weddings and other ceremonies regarding lovers. It was said to increase stamina and enhance the pleasure of love-making quite a bit, and Julian had only bought it to stop himself blurting out how that was hardly necessary. He didn't consider actually using it until Nornik remarked with a wicked grin that it also had a soothing effect on certain intimate areas and was consequently a very popular product for same-sex couples. That was just about as much as Julian could take, and he fled from the shop, blushing so badly he wondered if he was smoking from his ears. The trip went smoothly, Albert with the annoying continuing theme of him being considered something like a traitor for leaving Starfleet to live on Cardassia. But when things got really frustrating, he would think of the outfit and smile. Oh, Garak would feel the torture for once. Providing, of course, that Julian could hold him off for long enough to even have a good look. Finally back on Cardassia, he went by the shop and picked up the clothes. Trying them on made him blush again. Wow, it really was daring. But so much the better. Nornik showed him how to apply the perfume to best effect, and gave him a very appreciative glance in the mirror. Despite its racy appearance, the clothes fit perfectly and were very comfortable. He gladly paid the cost for the special outfit, and just about skipped home to his lover. Garak had spent most of his day reading in a quiet room, hoping to be able to at least sit through a welcome home dinner with his partner. Julian practically fled from his embrace when he came through the door, much to his chagrin, but he was duly rewarded when Julian appeared for dinner. He was putting the finishing touches on the dinner table in the dimly lit living room when Julian came in. The centrally positioned fireplace was ablaze, and the flames danced on the walls, making the whole room seem alive. Garak looked up from the table as Julian approached, and promptly dropped the cutlery he'd been holding. He had never seen anything like this. Julian's bare feet set shallow imprints on the soft carpet, and he looked like he was almost floating instead of walking. It was a very simple outfit of a very light and breezy tunic, tight-hugging pants cut off at the knee, and nothing else. But the effect was stunning. The cream-colored short tunic made his skin glow in the firelight, and it was cleverly fashioned so that it showed off just a tantalizing hint of his shapely collarbone and shoulders whenever he moved. The fabric was so light that the short, loose sleeves flowed, even though he approached Garak very slowly. The pants were a deep brownish red that seemed to almost meld with the darkened surroundings, but hugged so close to Julian's skin that he might as well have been naked from the waist down. Stopping below the kneecap with just a tiny slit on each side to show off the back of the knee at each step, they were also made of a fabric light enough to leave very little to the imagination. And just as Garak thought this dreamy vision of his lover couldn't get any more tempting, he caught a whiff of the perfume applied to his collarbone, as Nornik had kindly instructed. Garak dropped his jaw completely, and he simply froze to the spot, mesmerized by the utter delight stopping only 2 steps away. Ever self-conscious, Julian could not help but ask, "Well, what do you think?" Garak blinked, as if he hardly understood the question, and his voice was reduced to a croaking whisper when he finally replied. "My dear, you've left me speechless. Quite a feat, I might add." Julian blushed yet again and smiled at the carpet. The silence was very pregnant indeed, while Garak got his wits together again. "Julian, my dear Julian, how did you ever imagine we would get through dinner with you looking like that?" Until now, Julian had not noticed, but Garrick's hands were shaking, as if he was employing every shred of self-control not to reach out for his prize. Wickedly delighted that he had succeeded in his quest to tease mercifully, Julian decided to see how far he could take it. Boldly raising his eyes to Garrick's, he smiled and carefully sat down at the table. "I would imagine we sit down, talk, eat, The usual. Garrick looked like he could hardly believe his ears. Are you teasing me, Julian? Licking his lips a fair bit slower than usual, he replied, Perhaps I am. I learn from the best, after all. Even in the darkened room, Julian noticed how the impression on Garrick's forehead suddenly colored, and realized what a dangerous game he was playing. The uncertainty must have showed in his eyes, because Garrick suddenly backed away and said with some urgency, I could never hurt you, my dear, but if you're not completely sure you want this, then I would suggest you leave the room. Now. Julian crossed his arms across his chest, forcing Garrick to squeeze his eyes shut as the tunic rumpled and revealed a lot more than a glimpse of that beautiful collarbone. Elim, I have only one thing to ask. Has your Malvek ever made you aggressive? Sensing where things were going, Garrick stepped a shivering step closer again. No, never. Moody, energetic, and very, very lustful. But never aggressive. Not even when the delights of my desires were denied me. Again he was close enough to smell that perfume. It did something primal to his senses, and he had a feeling that it was just about too late for Julian to back out if he decided to do so. So he closed his eyes and resorted to begging. Please, if you don't want this, go, now! Julian saw the pained expression on his lover's face, and decided he had taken it as far as he ever would. He never wished to hurt Garrick. In one fluid motion, he stood and opened his arms. I want it. Garrick flung himself against his lover with a strangled cry. Oh, beloved. And then Julian was being devoured. Completely unable to control himself any longer, Garrick slammed Julian against the wall and ground their bodies tightly together. The combination of the perfume, the shivering of his lover, and the rough undulations of their bodies had Julian as achingly aroused as Garrick within seconds. His uncontrolled moaning in Garrick's ear seemed only to increase the urgency, and the stocky Cardassian practically flattened his human lover against the wall with his needy grinding and rubbing. The grey hands were everywhere at once, squeezing, stroking, tugging and scratching at every intimate spot and anything else they could reach. It was simply too much. Only a few more moments of the intense sensations was enough for them both to climax where they stood, shaking and panting. But Garrick's Malvek tolerated no intermission, and Julian was practically thrown onto the nearby couch while they both stripped frantically. Julian only just managed to get his own garments off before his lover was back, pressing him deeply into the cushions. He tried to return the frenzied touches bestowed on him, but Garrick was merciless in his haze of passion, and in the end Julian simply let himself be swept away. The powerful hands netted and squeezed everywhere, occasionally bruising, but always left Julian feeling even more intensely sexual. Maybe it was the perfume, or simply the passion of the moment, but he didn't really feel the pain. The bruises made his blood pound, and he felt every beat of his heart deep in his gut, fueling his lust incredibly. Teeth marked his shoulder, ridges rubbed roughly against his nipples, nails scratched his thighs, and he was just about to scream with pleasure when Garrick slipped between his legs and claimed him without further preparation. There was pain, but it was blocked out thoroughly by the deafening rush of his pulse through his whole body. Usually this was the part where the satisfying end would be approaching, but this was different. Powered by the call of the Malvek, Garrick was either unwilling or unable to end it any time soon. Ruthlessly thrusting, seemingly never tiring, Garrick made his lover cry out again and again from the pure pleasure overload. Julian's eyes were shut most of the time simply because he was unable to handle more input. But after a while he risked a glance at his lover. The sight forced him to keep his eyes open. The vision above him was hypnotizing. Garrick was a different color than usual. His pale gray skin was flushed to a darker steel with a bluish glow to it, highlighted by the now dark blue imprint on his forehead. His half-closed eyes, fixed on Julian, were so glazed over that they seemed black in the dim light. His hair had fallen out of his usual fixated state, and was creating a gleaming black curtain over half his face, pronouncing the shadows of his riches. His facial expression was a frightening animalistic grimace, teeth bared, nostrils widened, and his body so tense that his neck ridges seemed twice their normal size. Slightly worried at the sight, Julian reached up and gently stroked the flushed cheek. The dark eyes opened a fraction more and cleared up until Garrick was visible again behind the animal. Julian smiled and moved against his lover, silently asking for more. For a moment the being claiming him was all Garrick again in its surprise, but feeling the added pleasure of the soft body moving with and against him, the beast of passion clawed its way out again. The pace quickened, and the force increased to a point where Julian, even in his fogged-over mind, wondered just how much his body could handle. Quite apart from his conscious mind, his human body was in purely instinctive mode, keeping up with the Cardassian primal claiming, making them both burn. The final climax rapidly approaching was a force of nature, a power impossible to ignore or suppress. The wave could be felt closing in, as if from far away, pushed closer with each thrust. And then it hit. Julian screamed until his lungs burned, and Garrick tumbled over the edge right after him, hissing out his carnal release before collapsing heavily on the sweat-streaked form beneath him. The next long minutes were a roar of heavy breathing. Julian felt slightly dizzy and sore, but very buzzed and happy. Garrick was draped over him, practically covering his whole body, resting his head on Julian's heaving chest. Still joined, Julian felt the powerful beat of Garrick's heart in his most intimate of places, and smiled in the dark room. Finally, their breathing slowed, and they laid for the longest time, simply resting and gently stroking flushed skin. "Julian, my dear, remind me to pay a visit to Nornik in a few days." Raising his head to meet Julian's smiling eyes, Garrick grinned wickedly, obviously in control of himself again. "Oh? Are you going to make him regret he was ever born, helping me play such a dirty trick on you?" Giving Julian's thigh a loving squeeze, his eyes twinkled. "On the contrary, he has been begging me for the name of my former supplier of Atholian silk, and I have not until now seen any reason to provide it. But I would say he has deserved a reward for this. Even I could not have dreamed up a design so simple and yet so effective. Oh, and I assume it was he who sold you the Shemesh." Julian felt tongue-tied and simply nodded. "Also, I must say it was a delightful detail, being barefooted." Noticing the puzzled look on his lover's face, Garrick chuckled. "Nornik didn't tell you the significance of that, did he?" Feeling like he was doing nothing but blushing, Julian almost feared the reason behind this. "No, he just said it was a nice touch to complete the outfit." Garrick's look was hungry again as he reached up and kissed the soft, trembling lips. "You see, my dear, being barefooted at celebrations as a young woman signals virginity. It's considered very desirable, but it's only intended for one's permanent partner. Young men don't often do it unless appealing to the desires of another man. It's traditional for a girl to be barefooted at her wedding or engagement, and, of course, on the wedding night." The small surprised "oh" from his flushed lover's swollen lips made Garrick's blood rush with renewed passion, and before anything else could be said, Julian was being ravished yet again. It was going to be a couple of long but glorious days. The End.